We're going to learn down the Sikha and look at the Sikha as Chelik Tezayin, the Sikha of Shmois, the first Sikha of Shmois. In this Sikha, the Rebbe discusses the meaning of the in the parsha when it says Vayokom Melech Chodesh, that a new king stood up, whether it means actually a new king, which means the previous king died and this was a new one, or it means new in the sense that it was renewed his decrees and it was a whole new sort of a new period, a new troubles for the Yiddish people from this king. It wasn't really a new king. And the Rebbe quotes from the Rashi and in the Gemara, the two opinions of Rav and Shmuel. These are the two opinions. And the Sikha evolves around the Chlal, many places where Rav and Shmuel give an opinion. They disagree about an interpretation of the Pasuk. And the Rebbe is going to explain how Rav and Shmuel are associated with the various different interpretations. And then the Rebbe is going to explain the way it's in Rashi. So there's going to be a whole bunch of various different places where Rav and Shmuel changed the meaning according to their idea of what the meaning of the verse is. Well, let's start inside. Oifum posik vayokom melech chodosh al Mitzrayim asher lo yoda es Yosef. On the verse, a new king stood up. This is from the posik. A new king stood up over Egypt that did not know Yosef. This is in Perik Aleph posik ches. So shtelt zich Rashi of the verter. Rashi bases himself on the words. In other words, the heading of the Rashi is Vayokom Melech Chodosh. So Rashi brings from the pasuk the words, a new king stood up. Unis Mefarish, and Rashi explains, Rav Vishmul. Rav Vishmul means that there is a disagreement about this between Rav and Shmuel. These are two Amiroi. Chad Omar once says, and the Rebbe says later on that it looks like it's probable that the first one is the first Chad Omar, and the second one is the second Chad Omar. So Rav would be Chad Omar Chodosh Mamish. Rav says that new means it was actually a new king got up. That is the Chad Omar, Shenizchad Shuk Zeroysov. And one says that Nizchad Shuk Zeroysov, that his decrees have been renewed. So now there is new decrees. So their mokir from them, Pirush Rashi, is in Gemara. The source of this commentary of Rashi is in the Gemara. This is a Gemara in Erevin and Gimel Amud Aleph and Soita Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Those are the places where the Gemara brings it down. It's also in other Medrashim. On the Gemara is dort Masbir dem Hechrech. The Gemara there explains the why we're forced on the Maila and the advantage for Yedin for the Tzvei Pirushim, from both of these commentaries, from each one of these two commentaries. I mean, why we have to, Hechrech means that we are forced to interpret that way. Why is that better? So in other words, there is an advantage in each one of these commentaries. So it says like this. This is from the Gemara. Ma'adomar chodosh mamesh, the one who says that it means actually new, meaning a new king, the answer is the Ksiv Chodesh. Why is this? Because it says new. New means new. Uman the Omar Shinishachu Gzeresov, and the one who says that the Gzeres were renewed. Thank you very much. The Loik Siv, Vayomos Vayimlech. It doesn't say that he died and he became king. It just says a new king stood up. If it was a new actual king, we don't read about the previous one dying and that this one became the king. Like before, we learned about the Aesop's, it says Vayomos Vayimlech died and the king. But over here, it doesn't say he died, so it doesn't mashma that it's the same, still the same king. Unchoch Rashi is Mefarish nor Pshutu Shal Mikra. Although Rashi only explains the simple meaning of the verse, von deswegen bringt bei de Perushim, still he brings both of these commentaries. So still bring the beide pirusha. Rashi brings both pirusha. Vaila, because der hechrech von jedern von zei is von pshat, because each one of these is forced, necessitates from the simple meaning. The pshat necessitates each one of these pirushim. In other words, they're both necessitated out of pshat, out of the meaning. Their mit is oich muvan. So now with this, because we're saying that this simple meaning necessitates, it's also understood. Favos Rashi is mitik. Why does Rashi quote from pasuk, from the verse, oich diverter, also the words vayokom melech? Rashi quotes from the pasuk vayokom melech chodosh. But what is Rashi explaining? Rashi is only explaining the word chodosh, but still Rashi quotes from the pasuk vayokom melech. Hagam as er teiched up nor chodosh, even though he only translates chodosh. Rashi explains either chodosh means a new king or it means new gezeres, and still Rashi brings down from the pasuk vayokom melech vorum in vort vayokom, because in the word of vayokom bashteit der hechrech from dem zweiten pirush, the word vayokom, that is the proof, the necessity that necessitates the second commentary. Why leksi vayimlech? Since it doesn't say he died and he kinged, which means king, it's just vayokom, he got up. Got up means that there wasn't really a new king over here. So that's why Rashi quotes the vayokom. Und in dem Wort melech, der hechrech vom ersten pirush. But in the when it says melech, it means like the first, because melech chodosh, a new king. So that necessitates. So the vayokom chodosh and the melech chodosh, each one necessitates one of these pirushim. So that's why Rashi brings, quotes them both. Because the reason Rashi learns both of them is because they're both necessitated. They are both learned out, they're forced out, they're brought out from the pasuk itself. So basically, what are we saying over here? Both pirushim are necessary. But on the other hand, liidoch chodsh, as in yedn from beide pirushim is da yisrael. Although that in each one of these two commentaries there is an advantage. Ubemeila oich hashverikait legabed dem zweiten pirush. If there's an advantage in each one of them, means that there's also a difficulty with regards to the other one. If there's an advantage to one, pirush, that makes it difficult for the other pirush, because these two pirushim are conflicting. So if we say there's an advantage to one of them, that means that there's a disadvantage to the other one. So which one is the greater advantage and disadvantage of the two? So you have one and one. Is aber vigiret kama pa'amim, but as we have spoken many times, the erster pirush mer korev lipshut shel mikra. The first one is more closer to the simple meaning, to the literal meaning of the pasuk. In other words, what is the first one over here? Melechodosh, that is a new king, a real new king. That's more. Why is that more? That's why it comes first. Ravish Mulchad Omer Chodosh Mamish, first Chodosh Mamish. Why? Aleph, number one, Bepashtus, in simply, Izmer Mistaber Zogn. It makes more sense to say, as Chodosh meant Chodosh Mamish, that Chodosh means, I actually knew, in very simply. Unit, and not, as the recent president, as Vibald Gizei Reiso, is in Yonoi the Melech. Gzeres, bal gzeres. What is what a king does? What is the aspect of a king? He makes decrees. So because the king makes decrees, is chidush the gzeres, chidush the melech, that we're saying, because there is new decrees, so that means there's a new king. That's not the simple meaning. Simply mean a new king means a new king, just a new person, not a new king. decree, which, you know, you're going to say, well, a king makes decrees. Here's new decrees means that there's a new king. That's not the real meaning. A new king means a new king. Really, that's number one. Why the first one is better. Beis, number two, Leuten zweiten Pirush, Nischatschuk Zereisov, according to the second interpretation, that his decrees have been renewed, so there's new decrees. Now that means Vayokom Melech Chodesh, a new decrees of a king. Musman Taichin, so then you have to translate. So what does it mean later on? She says, Asher lo yoda es Yosef. What does it mean? She didn't know. If it was a real king, the same king, how could you say that he didn't know as Yosef, right? If it was a new king, then we understand he didn't know Yosef. It's also hard to, we'll see, that's also not so simple. But okay, a new guy, a new person, he had nothing to do with Yosef. Yosef didn't help him at all. Yosef didn't save Mitzrayim. Yosef wasn't his mission lemelech. So lo yoda es Yosef. So, but if you're saying this chachik zereisov, what does it mean lo yoda? Rashi says osa atzmei ki'ilu lo yoda. He made himself as if he doesn't know. V'di Gemara is masbir, as the Gemara explains. Umbi Rashi is domedayik to shrive. Here the Rebbe says an interesting diuk. Rashi is very precise the way Rashi writes. See, in the first Rashi, Rashi brings down the two commentaries. But then when it comes to Shad Lo Yodas Yosef, Rashi says that he made himself like he didn't know. So you have a possibility of translating that this would go according to both Pirushim. It could go according to the one, even though he was a new king, but it was unlikely that a new king didn't know about Yosef. I mean, he didn't know what's going on. Yosef also. So you can say that according to, even if it was a new king, what does it mean, lo yodas Yosef? But certainly, if it was the same king, it's just new grace, certainly new Yosef. So one can say, if without the Rebbe points to the Vav over here, one could say that when the Rashi says he pretended like he didn't know Yosef, it goes on both of the commentaries that he said before. But the Rebbe says, look, it says, Rashi is medayik to shreiben v'asher lo yoda. And, which means, osa atzmei ki lo yoda. He made himself as if he didn't know. This vav is a connecting vav. But Rashi is moisif avav hachibur oifun loshen hakosuv asher lo yoda v'asher lo yoda. Is b'chdei to madgish zayin. So this is, why does Rashi have to add the Vav here? Rashi wants to emphasize as der pirush, osa atzmei ki lo yoda, that he pretended that he didn't know, is behemshech tzu tzveitin pirush, that this actually follows the second, when he says, shenischachuk zereisov, in the second commentary, that his decrees have been renewed, b'shtei b'smichas fardem, which, right before this Rashi, the last words in the previous Rashi say, that nischachuk zereisov. So therefore, Rashi has to explain, according to them, what do you mean he didn't know Yosef? Because he was the whole time with Yosef. So he says, V'asher lo yodas Yosef, osa atzmei, kilu lo yoda. Mash'enkin loitin ershten pirush is eich der taich v'asher lo yoda kipshutei. According to the first one, the pshat is lo yoda. It's not he pretended, but he taka didn't know. Nit osa atzmei kulu, not he didn't. So basically, that's another advantage in the Pirush, that there is a new, real new king, because then we don't have to translate the word Asher lo yodas Yosef. He pretended not to know Yosef, but there were translating that Itaka didn't know Yosef because he was a new king. Again, so but the Rebbe just, what the Rebbe did over here explained that when Rashi says Osa atzmei ki lo yoda, that's Rashi explaining that this we have to say only according to the second interpretation, that it was the same king, but he has new gezeiros. So we have to say, what does it mean, Leodos Yosef, that he pretended not to know Yosef, but not according to the first one. Over there it means Itaka didn't know Yosef, and that's it. But that makes it more difficult, the second one, to have to change the meaning of Leodos Yosef. That's the advantage of the first one. And number three, Gimel, euch die Schwierigkeit, Leuten, ersten Pirush, What was the problem on the first one? What is the necessity? That's why did the Gemara say that I've quoted before? Why it doesn't say over here? Vayimlech. Why are we saying that it's not really a new king? Because there's a problem with the saying a new king, because it doesn't say Vayimlech. That's not such a problem. Kemen farentfren. You can answer this. The Torah kumdo nit zu der zelen di divre hayomim fu malchim Mitzrayim. The Torah isn't coming over here to relate to us the history, the divre hayomim, the history from malchim Mitzrayim, the kings of Egypt. Nor blois dos vos hot hashaychus yidin. This is only as it relates to the yidin. As eom gelitten fu naye shvere gezeres, that they suffered from new difficult decrees. That's all what the Torah is trying to tell you. Seinen do, doch do, nit negeya. So therefore, over here, it's not negeya. It doesn't apply here. We don't care about the protim, the details from Vayomos Vayimlech, that he died and he came. Nor did teitzoder from Mishach Hasidin. All what we're concerned is the result as it pertains to the Jews. Does was a melech hot sich aufgestellt, that there was a king that got up, keg Eden, mit naye gezeres, against the Eden with new gezeres, vayokom melech chodesh. So, a new king, so there's no real problem to say that vayokom melech chodesh means a real new king, and the fact that it doesn't even look like vayom is not such a big deal. Und riber is der erste, pirush nente zum pshuto shemikra. That's why the first commentary is closer to the simple meaning of the pasuk. So now in Ois Beis, the Rebbe is going to bring down many places where the names of Rav Shmuel are mentioned as Chadomar and Chadomar. One says. The Rebbe says that because first it says Rav, so the first Chadomar is Rav, the second Chadomar is Shmuel, and there is a logic that follows in all of these places where there is machlokes and Rav Shmuel, that the Rav leans towards giving you the literal translation, even though it doesn't fit so well into the general meaning of the pasuk. But priority to Rav is that it should fit the literal translation. That's the most important thing to him. According to Shmuel, the most important thing to him is that it should fit in the context, that the idea, even if we have to twist the meaning a little bit. And perhaps the Rebbe said that's why we bring down the Rav Shmuel. So first the Rebbe is going to bring down the Rav Shmuel in the Gemara, in various different places. And even other places Rashi brings down, like these ideas that Rav Shmuel said. And the Rebbe shows how in all of these cases, Rav chooses the literal meaning of that word on the place, and Shmuel chooses the contents over the meaning. But the Rebbe is going to say, but in Rashi we only find three places. So in Rashi we have to give a different reason why he mentions the name of Rav Shmuel. Let's look inside. Al pizeh volt men euch gekent mevayr zayn. According to this, we could also explain dem tam was Rashi bringt arop, the reason that Rashi brings down the nemen fun demanda omars, the names of the opinions Rav Shmuel. The Rebbe says in the bracket that usually Rashi would not bring down names was vigeret shein filmol, that which we already spoken many times. Brengt Rashi arop dem nomen fun bal hamayim. Rashi only brings the name of the author of the statement who said it. Nor ibdos verentert a schwerigkeit bipirushe. Only if this answers a difficulty in his commentary. So by bringing down the name, it will answer the question. Was der weckt sich bei a talmid memulach, that is going to be aroused by a sharp student. In other words, ordinarily, a very question that is for a very simple student, Rashi has to address directly. Rashi can't answer it with a hint by just saying the name of the author. But if you're talking about a question which a sharp student can ask, Rashi doesn't feel necessarily that he needs to address it directly, but he gives you the name of the author, and he's, if that could help you understand it. So, warum der mit is musber der tam von zeir machlokes. The reason why Rashi mentions here Rav and Shmuel, because with this, by mentioning that the authors of the statement are Rav and Shmuel, is musber der tam von zeir machlokes, that explains the reasoning for their disagreement. And that's why, because we know this was said by Rav and this was said by Shmuel, that's why Rav says this, because that's his view in general, and that's Shmuel. And now, so which is Rav's opinion? So the Rebbe is going to argue now and saying that since Rav comes first and then comes Shmuel, so he's the Chadomar, and then the Shmuel is the other Chadomar. So in this case, it would be Rav who said Chodosh Mamish, and Shmuel that says that is Chachuk Zeruiso. Ubahagdim, as bepashtus darf men onem. Introducing that we have to accept, simply speaking, as in the Machloikis Sud, that in those disagreements with the Gemara Zokt Frier Shemes Bale HaMaimer, that the Gemara first mentions the names of the authors of the statement, Under Noch, and following that it says Chad Omar Chulu, V'Chad Omar Chulu, one says, etc., one says, etc., is Bechlal, generally speaking, there may be exception to that, but the Rebbe says Bechlal, generally speaking, Der Eshter Chad Omar, the first one who said, there was the Gemara Zokt Frier. That's the one who is said first. So that would be, in our case, that would be Rav. Und der Zweiter was werde much better. And the second Chad Omar is the one that is mentioned later. That would be the second one. In Kamo Machloikesen, in Kamo Machloikesen, the Rav Shmuel, the Pirush HaKsuvim, in many of disagreements of Rav Shmuel in interpretation verses, was the Gemara bring, that the Gemara brings down, especially, I mean, there's sometimes the Gemara doesn't say Chad Omar, Chad Omar. Sometimes the Gemara says Rav says one thing, Shmuel says one thing. But especially when it follows in this style. First the Gemara says, Ubis Yuchad in the Msignan for Chad Omar, Chad Omar, especially when there is this style of one says this, one says Zetman al Shitosi for Yedrin for Zay. We see a following line according to each one of them. So Rav follows his line of thinking, and Shmuel follows his line of thinking, and that goes through in all these cases. Which is what? The Eshter, which is Rav, the first one, which is Rav, Nemt al Iker, he takes the main dem Vort, either one word, or verter, other verter, or words, plural. Hagam as lifizeh is nitglad der teuchaninyan. Even though that if we translate it literally, then it's not so clear, it's not smooth, the idea of the subject matter, he, Rav, goes by what? Making sure that the word is translated exactly. Der zweiter Shmuel, but the second one, Shmuel, is machriya loy teuchnenyan. He decides according to the contents of the subject matter. From the psukim, that from those verses, choch, although, as lifizeh, according to this, isn't it galatik der teich from the vort or the verter. Even though that will make it unsmooth, it won't make it so clear, the translation from this word or more words, but as long as it fits into the subject matter. And here the Rebbe gives an example for this point. And the Rebbe is going to get back to our point over here to the machloikis, whether it means chodosh mamish, I mean, which is kind of obvious that the literally should mean new means new. That's but the Rebbe is going to explain that according to the context over here, that would seem, thank you very much. According to the context over here, it makes more sense that it was somebody who came up with new new ideas, as the Rebbe will explain later on, how this fits in over here. But first, the Rebbe gives other examples, which we find in Rabbi Shmuel. L'dugma, number one. This talks about Yosef. It was talking about the story. The wife of Potiphar started up with him. And then it says one time, and Yosef comes home to go do his work. Now, Rashi brings down, and the Gemara brings down actually, so the Gemara says, this is in the Gemara, the Rebbe is finding the Lishitose, and the Rebbe is going to show that it doesn't really follow to Rashi, but the Gemara does follow. So what does the Gemara say? Rabbi Shmuel. So here we have a machloikas Rabbi Shmuel. One says he came to do his work, his job. Yosef worked in the house of Potiphar. So what came there, he came to do his work. But one says he came to do his need. In other words, he was going to have with Potiphar's wife. That's what he came over there. So these two ideas, whether it means actually his job, or it means Lasis Tzrochov. So this fits in with this idea that the Rebbe just brought down. The Eshter Taich Malachti Mamish, the first translation, that it means his actual work, Leutem Pirish HaPoshul Tvam Var, that goes according to the simple meaning of the word. Aber Fun Hemshech HaInyen, but when you read the continuation of the subject over here, was the pasuk is noch the meisim. The pasuk later on adds, the ein ish me'anshe habayis shom babayis. So then it says he came to do his work, and there was no people from the family members, from the people of the house. There was nobody there. It was only Potiphar's wife alone. So if you take that in consideration, is mashma. So then it actually appears as the Torah kum dermit oifkler and vosimet malachte. The Torah is coming to explain to us what it means that he came to do his work. Azam meloche, he came to do such a kind of a work, was farlanked, which demands vein ish, that there should be nobody there. So the Torah is saying he came to Arden and there's nobody there. So the Riber v'chad omar az melachte made lasis trochav. That's why. The other person says, a person, the other opinion, based on the content, says that he actually came. He went to do his needs with her. The Rebbe explains it a little differently. Maybe one would say, the Pasuk is saying that's why she could start up with him. But the Rebbe says it a little bit different now. A little different. Eib nit volt nit given. In other words, if it's not that he's coming there to be with Potiphar's wife, so why is he coming home? Then in Ishmael Shabbais, if there's nobody home there, he wouldn't go into the house. She had already told him earlier, Shichva Yimilai with me. Undibra Yosef Yoim Yoim. And she continuously was barging Yosef day by day, Lishkav Etzlo Goimer, to lie with her. Then we know that he came to do his needs. So basically, the reason why Rav says that it means doing work, because the word malacha means work. But the reason why it says last malacha is because the pasuk goes on to describe Ben Yishmael Shabbayis. So that's coming to declare, explain, and Yosef would not go in there. So in the context, it makes sense that malacha here means different than the literal meaning that we would take it as beginning. In another area, in Ois Gimel, the Rebbe brings from the Megillah. So, in the Megillah it says, Bahibi mea chashverish, hua chashverish. Then it says, Hamoylech, he was king, mehoidu ve'at kush, from hoidu to kush. And then it says, Vaiter the Posik, that he was Sheva, May of Esther Medina, 127 countries. So what happens from Hoidu to Kush? And the Rebbe is going to show you that here too, Rav and Shmuel, Rav learns the literal meaning. And Shmuel goes by the meaning, the contents. So Rav and Shmuel says he was a king from Hoidu up to Kush, which means, as the Gemara says, that Chad Omar, Rav Shmuel Chad Omar, Hoydu b'soif ha'olam, Hoydu is on one end of the world, the Kush b'soif ha'olam, and Kush will be in the other end of the world. That's one opinion. That would be the opinion of Rav. V'chad Omar, Hoydu v'Kush gabado de'avekayme, that Hoydu and Kush are next to each other, actually. They're not far from each other. And so what are we saying? That he comes from Hoydu at Kush. Kishem shemolach al Hoydu v'Kush, kach molach m'soif ha'olam v'atsoif. Just like he was king from Hoydu Kush, he was also a king from one edge of the world to the other. So we find, and we bring a proof for this, Rashi says there, the Gemara says, Ki yitz medavarat ha'omer, ki huroi debechol eber anar, mitifsoch ve'ad avzo. He was the ruler of all of the other side of the river, from Tifsoch ad Azza. Over there also we have the question, are Tifsa and Azza next to each other? So Rav says it was from one extreme to the other extreme. They were very far apart. And Shmuel says, no, they were next to each other, and just like he kinged over the next to each other, he kinged over everything else. So, if you learn, the Rebbe says, literally, when it says, ad, you're trying to say, from Hoydu ad, literally, what it means, in the simple meaning, it means that it's a distant in area. So the simple meaning of the pasuk, according to Rav, would mean all the ways from Hoydu and to the other end to Kush. That's why, according to Rav, Hoydu is on one extreme and Kush is on another extreme. That would make sense with the word ad, from one extreme, from one place to the other. But the fact, in the pasuk, it says immediately, Sheva ve'esr mei medina, it says that it kinged all over. So the question is, that already it tells you he kinged over the whole world. So why are you repeating yourself? First you're saying from Hoydu all the way to Kush everywhere. And then you're saying again from 127 countries. So therefore, that Mahoydu at Kush doesn't really mean Mahoydu at Kush, that they were two extremes and they were far apart. And then that wouldn't be a duplicate. So therefore, Rashi says that the pasuk, that according to Shmuel, the pasuk is coming to emphasize that just like he kinged between from Hoydu and Kush, which were next to each other, so he also kinged from one end of the world to the other world. So this emphasizes what a strong and powerful government that he had, but it's not the extreme. So again, we find Rav and Shmuel. Rav says literally ad means a distance, and Shmuel means, according to Shmuel, it means more, and the pasuk means this, it represents the strength that even though they were next to each other, so ad doesn't mean the literal extreme from one far to a place another place, but explaining that he was a powerful king, that he kinged even on faraway places like he did on places that are close to him. So now, in Ois Dalet, the Rebbe brings another two arguments that the Gemara brings prior to bringing down this Melech Chodesh. Again, so over there, it says, "Vahi b'mei Amrofel," and the pasuk starts to talk about the whole story. K'dalaimem elachelam, the fight over there with the four melachim against the five melachim, of which Avram got involved with the Melech Zdoim, with the whole story over there. Now the question is, who was this Amrofel? "Vahi b'mei Amrofel." So the Gemara says, prior to this machloikis that we're just discussing now, with Chodesh Mamash, the Gemara says, Rav Shmuel, again, there's a machloikis Rav Shmuel. And again it says, Chad Omar Shmoy Nimrod Shmoy. One says his name was really Nimrod, Veloma Nikra Shmoy Amrofel. Why do we call him Amrofel? So we're saying, Shomar V'hipil Avrom Avinu B'toch Kivshon Eish. Because Amrofel stands for abbreviation. Omar Pul, because he is the one that said to Avram Avinu, throw him into the furnaces. We know the Ur Kazdim, that was Amrofel. That's what we call Amrofel. So, according to Rav, his name was really what? Nimrod. And he had a nickname of Amrofel. According to Shmuel, it's the other way. V'chad Omar Amrofel Shmoy. That's Shmuel, okay? V'lomo Nikro Shmoy Nimrod. I keep on saying it's Shmuel based upon the Rebbe said, the first, that's L'shitosoi, that's what we're learning. Avaloma Nikro Shmoy Nimrod. Why do we call him Nimrod? Shehimrod is called Olam Kulo Olam Malchuse, because he is the one that caused the whole world to rebel against the kingdom of the Eibishter.
So the Rebbe explains it again according to the previous idea. According to the literal, simple meaning of the pasuk, it says, Kush yolades Nimrod. When it was first born, it says, Kush gave birth to Nimrod. So then Nimrod is just like the majority of the names of the Torah in that chapter. That's the name which we don't have a reason. We don't need to look a reason for. Why was it called Nimrod? Because that was his name. And then later on, though, when we come to the pasuk by Hibi Mreyam Rofel, and since we know that that's also Nimrod, so why was his name changed? So therefore, Rav says the change of the name is because there's a reason in the name, because this Amrofel stands for Omar Vihipil, because he is the one that said to throw him into the fire. So the literal meaning, the simple meaning of the verse is Nimrod is his name, as everybody else. And now there's a name change we have to say for a reason. But when you are going to look more into the context of the psukim, so as soon after the Torah tells us that Cush gave birth to Nimrod, the Torah immediately explains that he rebelled against the Hashem. The pasuk says, he was a rebellious person. Anybody who goes against Hashem, we say he's like Nimrod who rebelled against Hashem. So therefore, in that context, it seems like, why does the Torah tell us as soon as Nimrod was born that he's rebelling against Hashem? So this fact that the Torah at length explains this, that maybe that's the reason why they named him that, as opposed to Vahibim Amrofel, the Torah doesn't give you any long story about Amrofel. Doesn't say anything. So that is his name. So according to Shmuel, we'd rather say that his name is Nimrod, because according to the Kant, his name is Amrofel, but Nimrod has an explanation over there in the pasuk. There's another case over there in the Gemara before, over there, with regards to Maoris HaMachpelah. Okay? So why was it called Maoris HaMachpelah? It's a double cave, right? So Rav and Shmuel again. So there's a Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. And Chad Omar once says, Maoris HaMachpelah was, there were two houses, one inside the other. So there was two, one inside the other, a double, and one says it was a story and a second story, a bayis v'ali al gabov. So the Gemara says, well, if we say that they were double, one on top of the other, so we know that what they called Machpelah, there was a double, one on top of the other, but one that says that it's one inside, one house inside the other. Why is it double? What is it called double? It's not two. It's a room inside a room. Why would that be called double? That's inside another room. That's what the Gemara asks. The Gemara says that it has double peers, because Avram and Yitzchak, Avram and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, Adam and Chava, it had the pillar and Yaakov and Leah. So when you, so the Rebbe says here too, same idea. If you translate the word Ma'oras HaMachpelah, Ma'oras means one cave, which has double in it. So what does it mean? Ma'oras, that has double, which means double with the pierce, that there were two, it was doubled with pierce. In other words, there were doubled caves in there. Everything, doubled caves. That makes more sense than a house and a second story on top of it. Especially since it's a cave and you have two stories, one on top of the other, under the ground, the Rebbe says, it's not the the upper one is not dependent on the bottom one. Like, you can't have a second story if you don't have a first story. But if it's the ground, you can have a second story. It's not; they're not so connected. So why is it Machpelah? Why is it so doubled? So therefore, according to Rav, he says Machpelah, it means that it has double pairs. That's what it means, because that's the simple meaning. But according to that was it. But when you look in the contents of the psukim, it's hard to say that he has to double because they had double peers, because Avram's words to Bnei Chais was in a request. He begged them, he bowed down to them, and he asked just to bury one, his wife, in a single other. So why is he asking for a Machpelah, for doubles, eight kavers he's asking for? So in the context, doesn't make so much sense that it is asking for all these double the kvarim over there. So it's, in the context, it makes more sense. That's why Shmuel chooses to say that it was a house and an ali on top of it. So based on all this, in Oizvav, the Rebbe says that we can also explain why does the Pasuk tell us Vayokom Melech Chodosh, there's a new king, and it doesn't start off by saying, oh, the Yidden became many, and they said, listen, they're going to become fruitful. Why do we have to say this whole thing, a new king? You should have said, Vayomelech Mitzrayim El Amoy, Hinamere Yisrael, Rav Otsu Memenu, Hoven Ischak Meloy, let us just take care of them. Why does he have to come? Why we need to know that there's a new king or not a new king? You know them. So, the explanation is the Pasuk is coming to answer us something which is very surprising. How does it make sense that Pare should make decrees especially on Yosef, especially on the children of Yosef, after all the favors that Yosef did to him and to the land of Egypt? Torah would not understand, how could they make such a decree, throwing all the children, the babies into the Nile? Here they just did you, Yosef did such a favor. So therefore the Torah says, Vayokom Melech Chodosh al Mitzrayim shel Yodes Yosef. So there was a new king who didn't know Yosef. And therefore, we don't have such a difficulty understanding how was he able to make all these decrees, because something new happened over here. So here, Rashi brings the two names of Rav and Shmuel, because this explains to us the difference and the advantage of each one of these commentaries, and to show how they followed their line of thinking. Chad Omar, according to the view of Rav, he explains the word Vayokom Melech Chodosh Asher Liyodos Yosef means literally, a new king got up, Yosef didn't know, and therefore he made all these gezeiros. How could he do it? Because a new king. He made all the gezeiros. But when we're trying to understand the psukim, it's not understood. Even while he was a new king, so he certainly knew about what Yosef did, that he saved the entire land of Egypt, and that just happened with one generation before, especially that the decree that he took together with the Egyptian people, he didn't do it on his own. He said to the people, so they were all in it together. Other people knew. They knew everything that took place. And there were other people that were, when Yosef was there, and they were saved through Yosef. Yosef saved their lives. He supported them. So we have to say that Loyoda means what? So doesn't mean the no. So we have to say anyways that he pretended not to know. It can't be that Itaka didn't know. It doesn't make sense. So therefore, he says that it's not like this pasuk is just like a side point, a maimer hamuzgar. That meaning, basically, according to the first one, how was Pari able to do the decrees? The Torah gives you like a side point telling you, a maimer hamuzgar, that there was a new king, so that's why he did it. No. So it's saying that, but this is, the Torah is actually here trying to tell you what a cruel and evil person Pare was, as we will see in the later Pesukim. So the Torah starts, and that's why it says, he said it was the same king. But he just pretended like he didn't know. Because that way you can see what kind of a Rasha of Pare is. So even though the word Melech Chodosh is not so literal, because we're saying that his decrees were renewed, but not a new king. But still, it's in the context of this pasuk that the pasuk is trying to teach us over here, not to answer, like according to Rav, how come he could make such a gezeira because he was a new king, but rather to emphasize and bring out the cruelty of Pare, that he was such a mean king that notwithstanding everything that was done for him good, he still paid back in such a terrible way. There's another machloikis that's brought down the Rav Shmuel, and that's there's actually it's either Rav Nechemiah and Rav Yehuda or Rav Shmuel, but Rashi brings it down in the name of Rav Shmuel. The Medrash, it says Rav Nechemiah Rav Yehuda. But over there, the question is also over there. It says Bayita Eishel Beir Sheva. So he planted a tree in Beir Sheva. And Rashi explains the word Eshel. So Rashi brings down. One says, Rav says, Rav and Shmuel. One says it means a orchard, a tree, just a plain tree. A tree that those trees were meant to bring fruit for the guests. Vayita Eshel. And the other person says, no, it represents the whole inn. It's a nachsanya, it's a place where everybody would stop by. There was a lot of foods over there to eat. So what does it mean by Yita Eshel? He planted an Eshel. It's a tent. That you plant a tree, you don't plant it. Rashi says, no, sometimes we find, he brings a posik, Netiya by a holim. We find the posik. So the Rebbe says like this again. When you want to learn the posik, again, this fits in. When you want to learn the posik by Yita, simply planting, that means fruit. And that is the shita of, that's the view of Rav. But according to Shmuel, that we go by the contents of the Pasuk, so there, what happened? Because the Pasuk says, through this tree, he declared, he declares Hashem's unity because they would come in there and they would eat and he would tell them to thank Hashem. They would try to thank Avram and Avram tell them to thank Hashem. So it makes more sense to say that you're not talking about just fruit for trees for fruit, but you're talking about something which is an achsanya, which is really a place that you can have all kinds of food, and that would be more likely to get the people to thank Hashem than just one fruit tree. So because of the contents, Shmuel will learn that it means a beis achsanya, even though we have to explain vayita, planting, that you plant a tent, that is also applicable to them. So the Rebbe brings down all these things that this would fit Rav Shmuel the way it's in the Gemara and the Medrash. But the problem is that in Rashi, we don't find in all these cases Rav Shmuel. And actually, some places Rashi brings down both, doesn't bring down the names, doesn't Rav Shmuel. In Rashi, we can't really say that these names, if Rashi would have brought down all this time Rav and Shmuel, then it would be the same as in the Gemara. This follows the same logic. And actually, we have to say another reason. The Rebbe explains this based upon the rule that Rav, the halacha remains like Rav when it comes to, Rav and Shmuel are always arguing, okay? So if it comes a matter of Isser v'Heter, is it prohibited or is it permissible, then the Gemara's halacha is like Rav. If it comes to a monetary issue, then the halacha is like Shmuel. And the reason is because Rav was more familiar with the Isser v'Heter, and Shmuel was more familiar with money, with monetary situations. And the Rebbe basically brings out, that in the question about Rashi's question, and the three few places that Rashi does bring down, is knowing that to Rav it's more important the relationship with Hashem, and according to Shmuel it's more important the relationship between man and men, and that would explain, again, that was not another probably another half hour to explain him, so we ran out of time. But I just want to bring out over here, the Rebbe brings down the lesson of this Pirush Rashi, that there are some people that argue that we have somebody in the government. We have a new friend or an old friend. So if he's going to make a decree, we don't have to worry about it anymore. Because since we are and even if it goes against the Torah, he says, so since we are slaves to Paroi and we have to build peace and Ramses, and so what are we going to do? Paroi is telling us that we have to build for him. We need to be slaves to Hashem. We have to study Torah diligently, and we have to observe mitzvahs behidur, and we have to know b'chol drachah chadayu. So therefore, we don't have a choice. We're Mitzrayim, so you can't start up. You can't start up. You got to accept. You got to accept the government. You got to accept what they're doing. So the Rebbe says that it doesn't make a difference. We need to know whether you're talking about a new king or an old king, whether you're speaking in this language or another language. But if it's a king of Egypt, which means that he causes trouble for Yidden, and he makes trouble for Yiddishkeit, so then this is all the advice of the Yetzer Hara, and even what they're trying to do, kindness, that is really trying to get you. It has to be the conduct of those midwives in Golos Mitzrayim. That has to be against the decrees of Paroi. Paroi said what? That all the children you should throw into the river, and all the girls you should give life, which means that, as the Rebbe said many times, throw them into those matters which is the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim. Throwing into the Nile means that Avodah Zarah. The Egyptians, they worship the Nile. So when you talk about what is the Avodah Zarah? Money, jobs, and so on. So you want to throw them in. So they want to throw them into the river, and you want to drown them, not only the Jewish body, but also the Jewish soul. And also, v'chol abas t'chayin, when it means the daughters live life, that was a part of the decree. They wanted to give them the life and educate them in the spirit and in the lives, the way of life of the Mitzrayim, those who give harm yid. And these Jewish midwives, they stood against it, against the decrees. And they did everything necessary that there should be Jewish children and they should get the proper Jewish education. And this that we have to do in the natural ways, and we need to talk with Goyim, it has to be like Moshe Rabbeinu who spoke to Paroi. He gave him honor, but Mata Lekim Beyode, he had the stick of Hashem in his hand, which means he went with pride, with force, with strength, and he didn't feel inferior for the Goy, and certainly he didn't want to hide his Yiddishkeit. And through this, that we do not take into account the decrees of the country, which do not fit Yiddishkeit, and you devote and you give totally the holy education of all Jewish children, we raise the armies of Hashem, healthy, physically, spiritually together, which brings the redemption, the true redemption, from the Klal Yisroel through Mashiach Tzidkenu, the Korev Mamesh. This is from the Sichas Shabbos Parashas Shmos, Toshen Lamed Vav.